Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour two as we get rolling along on Sports Map Radio. Good Monday to you. I hope you all had a happy new year. I hope you had a great holiday. As now we get into a very critical month. It's the playoffs in the NFL. Monday night, the College Football National Championship. It's a lot of fun this month. Right now, if you look at the AFC playoff picture, the Patriots are in as the number 7 seed. They are Baltimore and the LA Chargers are the other wild card teams. And right now, your division is Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, and Jacksonville. But Jacksonville has a win and get in game with the Tennessee Titans, who can also, again, win that division despite being one game back. They win the tiebreaker over Jacksonville if they beat the Jags on Saturday. But in the NFC, same situation in that there are teams fighting for that final playoff spot that right now is owned by the Seattle Seahawks. The Packers win, they are in. The Detroit Lions need a win and a Seattle loss, they are in. But everybody else is clinched. The Eagles, the Niners, the Vikings, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win the NFC South by their victory against the Carolina Panthers. They do so. They rally in the fourth quarter. Dallas is the number one wild card team, but they have a shot at the division. A win and an Eagles loss would give them the NFC East. It could possibly give them the number one seed as well as the Niners and if the Niners win, they would actually have one up on the Dallas Cowboys. But the Lions at 8-8 have been the really, really fun story of the NFL season. They were 1-6 at one point and have now won 7 of their last 8 games. This is one of those situations that we talk about a lot where, you know, you just have to sometimes go, getting into the playoffs is in the end the ultimate goal. It doesn't really matter what happens in the postseason. If I look at a team like the Steelers, for example, if they get in, if everything bounces their way, if they get the Buffalo Bills beating the Patriots and the Jets beating the Miami Dolphins as well as a win, they'll be in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to do anything in the postseason. But I wouldn't make the case with the Lions. I wouldn't make that case. I think if you play the Lions, if you are an Eagles or if you're the Niners, whoever, I think you get to be really careful. Because Jared Goff is playing good football and they can run the ball well. Defense is still problematic, of course. They give up more points than anybody in the league. But I wouldn't say that by barely getting in, they are easy pickings. The Lions are not easy pickings.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. Boy, we haven't had this in a while as we've been both off for the holiday week. But let's get right to it. The good of the day for 2023, everybody!
The first good of the day of 2023, you know, it's a twofer.
Okay.
Same category, two different stories. And that is that sometimes, Tony, it's okay to take a phone call during a broadcast.
All right, very good. Yes, I saw this. This is a good story.
So the first one I'm going to highlight was Shannon Sharpe.
Okay.
When Shannon Sharpe was in the middle of taping Undisputed with Skip Bayless, he took a phone call and found out that he was a grandfather.
Oh, it's always wonderful.
And that was exciting. And, you know, I mean, everything about it. A lot too much pressure on him because it was quick to point out what day he was born on.
Yes.
And so Shannon Sharpe knew that, you know, hey, it was LeBron James's birthday, which happens to be Tiger Woods' birthday. So he's already calling his little grandson the Grand Goat.
Oh, that's awesome. So did Skip Bayless go, I just want to let you know that your grandson is not even close to Tom Brady.
Probably.
When it comes to accomplishments.
I think hopefully
he just doesn't have it compared to Tom Brady.
Hopefully during the break.
Right. Yeah, you exactly.
Know. Yeah, he probably pointed out that the baby doesn't even have a ring yet.
I think your grandson is probably the 10th or 11th best grandson born on this day. That's Skip for you. All right, what's the other one? Because the other one I thought was even better.
The other one, yeah. If you missed it, you missed out. During Michigan TCU, RG3 decided to take a phone call during their live broadcast where they were doing some sideline reporting with in a joint effort with the Pat McAfee show. I didn't really get this whole thing, but that's a different story for another time. But he took a phone call during that and found out that his wife was in labor. So before exiting stage left out of the stadium, he decided to tackle someone, tackle the ball boy real quick, and then tore off. Cameraman could not keep up with him.
Yeah, he left. I unfortunately, here's the thing. I never watch those broadcasts.
No.
I hear good things on them, and people always comment. They always go, oh, that insight, or when the coaches all sit in a room and they're watching a game and they give you what they think. I never watch these
but that's
secondary
what was weird
broadcasts.
Because,
and yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was like four dudes standing on a sideline during the game. And
right.
I was like, is that? I've never seen that before.
Exactly. And so it's those things aren't for me. If there's a generation that loves them, great. That's cool. It's just that my traditional broadcasts are for me. This is one of the reasons why I keep forgetting the Manning cast. I love the Manning cast.
Yeah.
I love the concept of it, but it's not my traditional go-to. But it always feels like there's always some cool things that go on there during these things. Whether it's, again, having to leave because your wife's in labor or some other comments or fan interactions or whatnot.
Now,
and I always miss him.
My only thing, I mean, is he living in Arizona?
Yeah, what did he do? Did he fly? Did he have to
that's
fly
the only part
they're living?
I didn't know. I didn't know the rest of that story. Like, your wife
does
goes
he
to
live
labor.
Back east? Because he does a lot of work for ESPN, so I'm assuming he lives in the Northeast.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, they don't just fly you in every day to be on the panel of whatever morning show they're on or whatever afternoon show.
Do they plop you into a military jet and say, don't worry, we'll get you there within 30 minutes?
They probably give you the fleet of the ESPN private jets. They're just ready and willing to fly you to where you have to go. All right, yeah, but congratulations to the Robert Griffin III and his wife.
Yeah, that was
and
awesome.
And Shannon Sharp. That was awesome. All right, what's the first bad of 2020?
Well, I only have one bad.
All
come
right.
on now. We can only have two goods, not two bads. We're not starting 2023 off like that. But the first bad of the day is that Bronco players reportedly are already on the outs with interim head coach Jerry Rosberg.
Yeah, what's going on here? Because I'm hearing there's a lot of uproar.
Yeah, apparently should we say head coach Jerry Rosberg?
Yeah, interim head coach Jerry Rosberg.
Yeah, I'm
going to
get rid of interim right now, though he has one more game left under his belt before he is unofficially canned or unceremoniously canned. But he realized that the team had one more padded practice left for this season. So he decided to schedule that padded practice during the first week.
Football guy.
And a lot of the players were like, why?
Yeah, what are we doing?
You know, we've been eliminated from the playoffs. They just want to finish the season healthy.
Yeah,
so because
absolutely.
Of that,
not walk into the final week of the game, just play it and get the heck out of there?
Yeah.
Who are they playing? The Chargers? Who are they playing next week?
I think, I think you're right. I think it's the Chargers.
Think the Chargers? I don't know. They played tough against the Chiefs.
Yeah, because the Chiefs are playing the Raiders and they're playing the Chargers. So
they played the Chiefs tough.
Chiefs not play up to their level?
I don't know.
That's how it felt when I was watching that game.
Yeah, it was. The Broncos played well. They just don't have enough. And then there's some bad calls. There was an offensive pass interference on Cortland Sutton that I still have no idea what they were looking at, what they saw. That was ridiculous. And by the way, you could breathe on the quarterback and you can get roughing the passer, but now you can just body slam a guy nobody likes anymore.
Yeah,
is that what we're doing? Speaking of the Broncos, one thing that did pop up over the week that we were off, how many Broncos are coming to the defense of Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I was surprised to see that.
I was too. So in case you missed it during the holidays, Barstool and Pro Football Talk both were kind of making these comments on Russell Wilson's got his own office. He's got like two parking spaces.
Yeah.
Like, they were just showcasing some of the perks that Russell Wilson gets for being a crappy quarterback for the Denver Broncos. And KJ Hamler and Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and a couple of other guys just went on Twitter and were like, stop ripping our man.
Yeah,
they
stopped just short of being Terrell Owens going, that's my quarterback.
It's my exactly. They were all like, leave him alone. Nobody motivates us more. Nobody works harder. His work ethic is unbelievable. You guys don't see a thing. You guys don't know a thing. You don't know what's in that building.
And but, you know, but I want to talk to one of these guys, like, secretly, you know, just off the record. Those videos are pretty cringy, right? Do you agree?
They are cringy, right? And by the way, you want to stay on the Broncos, and you know Russell Wilson's probably going to be on the team for a while. You want to make sure everybody knows you're on Team Russ.
Yeah.
They don't need any problems. They don't need any wide receivers going to Mike Florio and going, "Hey, Mike, you're correct. This guy, oh boy,
annoying.
Just driving us crazy." Like, no, they're going to come to the defense of their guy, and there's a little bit of protectiveness of the Broncos. But all right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is a partial good as well, because this is SportsCenter commercials are back.
Oh yeah. I saw some.
And the latest one was really good. The new return. And basically featured a lot of players from the women's soccer team. The women's national team.
Oh yeah, this one was really funny.
Eating oranges, because that's what you do during soccer at halftime.
Everybody eats orange slices.
Where I guess it's Mr. Orange. I don't
know. Syracuse Orange.
Syracuse Orange was just standing there kind of looking. So where the dumb lies, where the dumb comes in is, why did they get rid of them in the first place?
Those were really good. Is there a creative department that they hired to come up with that?
I don't know.
Did
they
just cut ties with that creative department?
Yeah. I mean, that was the only
thing. Like in the budget cut?
I would like a 30 for 30 on why did you get rid of them? Because no one ever had anything bad to say about any of the 30 for 30.
That's my only.
This is SportsCenter.
My only explanation to that would be they went to Jones Advertising, right? And they said, "Look, we want some SportsCenter promos. Get your best creative team on that." And they said, "Okay, here's what we charge." And the money was flush, and they went, "Go ahead, we'll pay you whatever." And so the creative team created all these great ideas, all these brilliant ideas, and they shot them and produced them and filmed them and whatnot. And they said, "Here's the deal." And then ESPN went through a bunch of layoffs and a bunch of cuts, and they said, "Boy, this Jones Advertising, whatever it was, is too expensive." That's usually how it works. I don't know if maybe they can find people in-house to come up with these things.
Or at least,
usually the creative minds get picked up on Wall Street for that kind of thing. But,
yeah.
You know,
or at least that. Brilliant. Hopefully that is the reason.
That's the only reason I can think of.
If they're just like, "Oh, well, they're stale. Let's move into another direction."
Yeah. That's the only reason I can think of.
They're never going to be stale, because you're always going to have fresh new athletes.
Yeah. They're great. Some of them are downright hilarious. I mean, some of them I've Googled of YouTube.
Oh, of course.
To see them again.
Yes.
They were that good.
Oh, my favorites to this day is David Ortiz and Jorge Posada.
Oh, yeah. Right.
When, you know, they're making fun of Jorge Posada's hat because he never wears a hat because he's a catcher. And David Ortiz is trying to break it in and puts the Yankee hat on just as, what's his name? Wally.
Right.
Wally the Green Monster walks by the office. It just cracks me up every single time.
They're fantastic. The one where Arnold Palmer makes an Arnold Palmer in the cafeteria, and they're just in awe.
Look, he's doing it.
It's great. It's great. Funny.
That's what I said. There's not a bad one, and I didn't. I mean, I saw the newest one. I was like, it just reminded me of like how great these were. Like, why did they ever get rid of them?
Yeah, they're really funny. They're really, really, the thing about them is that they're creative, like where you go, "Oh man, I didn't even think about that connection." How odd.
Yeah.
The one you just gave is a perfect example. You get a bunch of soccer players, they're eating orange slices.
Because that's what you do as
you're a kid, you eat orange slices. And then you go, "And let's get the Syracuse orange to look at it and go, oh no, that's awesome."
And I have no idea how they do this, but how in the world they give a mascot emotions.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, you think back to all the different mascots. Like, I mean, the Oregon Duck, right? When he's when he's working in the office, and then he just kind of leans back in his chair because he looks out the window and there's ducks just swimming on a nice sunny day, and he's stuck in an office. I mean, these mascots, they don't have emotions. You know, you don't have ability to make their faces do anything, but you feel it. You know exactly. That's what I love about these things.
It's awesome. Yeah, you're right. Why did they get rid of them?
Yeah.
The late John Clayton, the one where he's in the basement.
Oh, God.
Is so funny. He is so, so funny.
Ma!
God, I miss that guy. I really do miss that guy. I know he passed away early 2022, sometime like May or something. Man, that's sad.
And will the world never really know if he had a ponytail or not?
I know. So wild.
literally one of the nicest men I've ever met in my life. He was so good. Such a just unbelievable man. All right. That's the Good, the Bad, and the Dumb. Our first one of 2023 certainly won't be our last as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue at his wake-up call. So I have to tell you, Thursday night, my family, we're driving home from Florida. And remember I told you a year ago that we left a Thanksgiving vacation and we drove through the state of Alabama and I listened to Eli Gold the entire time? So the Titans were playing Dallas and we were just outside Chattanooga when the game started. So we found the Titans radio network, and my daughter's now a huge Titans fan. She just jumped ship. She loved the Broncos, but she just jettisoned that team and now loves the Titans. So I turned on the game, and Mike Keith is the play-by-play announcer for the Titans, and he's really good. He's what you want in a play-by-play announcer on the homer side of it. I mean, he gets really excited. Like, he goes, sack! And then he just screams and stuff. He's really good. Brings the emotion of the game. So there was a moment where the Titans had cut the Cowboy lead in the game, and he said, it's Thursday, going to break. He said, it's Thursday night. It's a night a game even Al Michaels could love. And I thought to myself, does Al Michaels like doing these Thursday night games? Did you get the feeling this year that he enjoyed
One minute.
Not 1 second did I think Al Michaels enjoyed working these Thursday night games this year. I think he does fine with Kirk Herbstreit. I had no problems with the pairing.
Yeah, but
booth.
Don't you feel like it's like Kirk Herbstreit's already working behind the eight ball?
Right. Oh, no doubt.
Every single broadcast I've seen, it always feels like Kirk Herbstreit, no matter what you do, you're never going to be any of the other sidekicks for Al Michaels.
Absolutely.
That he's had in the past.
I wouldn't be surprised if Herbstreit cuts that out in the next year or two. He talks about it all the time. It is a grueling schedule. Grueling schedule. It is all this travel. You are traveling to, when you do a Thursday night game, you are traveling to that city. Like by Monday, you are in preparation mode. And then you're on the side. You're trying to prep for the college game you're doing on Saturday on the road for the game, for the NFL game on Thursday. And then you got to leave that night to wherever game day is going to be, and you're continuing that preparation.
Unless you get lucky.
Unless you get luckier in their same spot, exactly. Then you leave the set of game day, and you are on a jet to wherever you're calling the game. But the amount of prep work that you're doing, you can't just be in a town. And you might be able to do it on a Friday and do it and then fly to game day. It's a grueling schedule.
He lives in Ohio, right?
He lives in Nashville now. Yeah, he moved to Nashville a couple years ago, yeah.
So what is he spending? Is it just Monday and Tuesday he's at home?
Pretty much. That's it.
That's it, right?
But I got to think he leaves on Monday for the Thursday night game because the teams are on a short week, so their availability is early in terms of sitting down. You know, when they go, we had a chance to sit down with blah, 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 Mike McCarthy, and like they talk for like 40 minutes on everything, and you're doing all that. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if Herbstreit in a year or two, not next year, I think he'll do it one more year, but I think after that he goes, I can't. My bread is buttered on the college football side of things. I just got to stay with that. I got to, you know, what is that line? Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yep.
Can't do everything. You know, you can't, like, this business is crazy because they find one or two people and they go, you can do all of it. And the reality is even the greats can't do all of it. I'll be honest with you. I thought Joe Buck was terrible at golf. Terrible.
Yeah.
He should have never been on that broadcast. Golf is a different beast. What they did was they said, our guy is as good as your guy. Jim Nance does golf and everything. Our guy does golf and everything. And Joe Buck couldn't do it. Joe Buck was terrible at golf. You can't master everything in this field. And I think if you're Kirk Herbstreit, you go, look, I know football. It's the same game. And I know the players. I probably know the players better than Al Michaels knows the players.
Definitely.
Because they are, everyone that is on the field is a product of what I've done for the past 30 years. Right? And Al Michaels is learning guys as they come up, right? He's just like Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett's a rookie, blah, blah, blah. I did this at Pitt. And Kirk Herbstreit's like, yeah, I studied everything he did at Pitt. every day while he was there, along with everybody else that's on this field. I've watched them grow. So it's not like Buck doing golf, but at the same time, it's a grueling enough schedule, even for a guy in his mid-50s that's still relatively young, to be on jets constantly and flying all over the country. But I never got the feeling Al Michaels really enjoyed Thursday night games. And you know what? I don't blame him, to be honest with you, because look at last night, for example. Last night was a game between an NFL team that has already clinched a playoff spot that didn't have its starting quarterback, and a little bit above average football team in the Steelers that are playing better, but still have a rookie QB. But that moment, that game, that Ravens-Steelers atmosphere on a Sunday night was still the game. Like, that's the game to be at. Michaels is on these Thursday night games where some of them are okay and some of them are good, but some of them are boring and terrible and don't have any relevance. But you didn't get
most
that on Sunday nights.
He was guaranteed in the latter
half of the season, he was guaranteed to get the best possible game that they could get.
Also, even in the first half of the season, you were always guaranteed to get the storyline game.
That's right. That's right. The big one. The big story game.
You know, like Tom Brady's return to New England last year.
Yep.
Like, you knew that was going to happen. There wasn't anything else, any other game bigger than that one.
And it's.
And this year, I mean, God, yeah, it's got to be like soul sucking out for Al Michaels.
It's crazy.
And we felt it. We feel it each week.
Yeah.
When we're watching him do the game, we're just what's been our comment the entire time? You know, does Al Michaels even care? Does Al Michaels,
can't
Al Michaels
have a better. We've talked about this many times with Al Michaels. You can't have a better broadcasting career than Al Michaels. Al Michaels has seen it all. He's been in it all. He's called it all. Like, from Miracle on Ice to Monday Night Baseball when that was a thing. And here's the other thing. He did it at a time where networks were putting so much money in sports that there was a luxuriness to being an ABC broadcaster. It was limousines. It was first class travel. It was five-star hotels. And it's like that in a way now, but it was at a time where it was all like, just, there was no expense. Everything was first class. And he went through all of that with Howard Cosell. He's done Monday Night Football. Now Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football. What was he talking about? He's called over 1,000 and close to 1,000 NFL games or something like that, where from preseason and everything that he's done.
It's got to be more, right?
You do.
I guess not. I mean, it's only like 16 a
season. If you squeeze in 16 plus, I don't know. Yeah, it's maybe even 800-900 is probably more likely what he's done. But World Series, he's done the World Series. I mean, he's done everything. He's done everything. And now he's at the point of his career where he's like, I'm doing Dallas, Tennessee, where this game doesn't matter to the Titans. What am I doing on a Thursday night? Ugh. And they're paying him a Brinks truck of money to do it. But it doesn't sound like he's having fun. It doesn't sound like he's having a good time. But again, you've seen what he's. And number two, he was at the World Series. He was calling the World Series when the earthquake happened.
Yep.
Remember that? Like, so not only is he called these games just being in the games, he's called some of the more important beyond sports games that have mattered and mattered. So, yeah, you can't have a better career than what he's had. And we talk about this a lot when he did Miracle on Ice. Think about this. Miracle on Ice in 1980. It was 33 years ago, right? And he was in his mid-30s when he was doing that. He wasn't even a kid, like, on the ABC team.
Yeah.
He was like 33.
But the sad thing, disappointing thing, I don't know which thing you want to do, kind of still sounds the same as that 30-year-old.
By the way, I said 33. I meant 43 years ago. It was 43 years ago. Jeez. So you're adding.
Go back to 30, please.
I know. So, you know, it's, I don't know. I never felt like he had a very good time. Josh Alper is going to join us. So there's a lot of teams in the NFL and all still sitting around with playoff thoughts of where they're going to play, who they're going to play, or if they're in it at all. We'll go through week number 17 with Josh Alper next. We'll continue with Wake Up.
listening to Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Week 17 in the NFL. Tonight, Monday Night Football, it's Buffalo against Cincinnati. And then we head into Week 18, and there's a lot on the line for a lot of teams. And it's not just teams that are already in the playoffs. You know, they go, obviously, we still got positioning, like what seed you're going to get, what teams, what teams are still needing to get in. There's some been really, really good stories, and there's also been some stories of teams who've gone in the opposite direction. Josh Alper joins us, ProFootballTalk.com, on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, brought to you by Progressive. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. That is Progressive. We're getting Josh up and running. So as I was saying earlier, you got a team like Miami that looked like a lock, not only a lock, but a team that was just going to be one of the top teams in the AFC. Yeah, we always do this, by the way, with the caveat of injuries, right? Whenever we see a team midway through the season, we go, yeah, well, barring injury. But for the Dolphins, it really has been injury. As a lot of players missed yesterday. Tua's in the concussion protocol. Teddy Bridgewater left. Skylar Thompson came in. It's a real situation for the quarterback situation in Miami. That and a bunch of other things. Josh Alper joins us, ProFootballTalk.com. How are you, Josh?
I'm great.
Thank you so much for joining us. And then Happy New Year to you, by the way. These Week 17, the most intriguing team going into the final week with a team with something to play for, which is the team you're looking at in Week 18 with either a chance to get in or maybe even better their situation?
I think it's the Packers. I think it's watching them and the Lions. I think that game, the groove that the Packers have found themselves in, the belief they clearly have after, so much struggling earlier this season, it's Aaron Rodgers. They're going to be at Lambeau against the Lion team that, has their own chance to take a big swing. I think that's the game for me this weekend that really is the most appealing on the schedule. I think it's, I think the Jaguars are interesting. I think it'll be curious to see how the Eagles and Giants play things on Sunday in that game for them. But for me, it's really the Packers, because I look at that team as one that, depending on how things play out, I wouldn't want any part of Aaron Rodgers in the first round of the playoffs. And if it's that 49ers game and he's going back home to Northern California, wow, I think that's going to be one of the biggest playoff games we've seen in years.
What about the turnaround for the Packers? It's a four-game win streak. It's three after their bye week. It looked dead in the water. But is it just Aaron Rodgers? What else is working for the Packers?
No, look at it yesterday. Special teams touchdown,
yep.
Defensive touchdown. I mean, completely shut down Justin Jefferson. Give Jair Alexander all the credit in the world. He poked the bear in the cage, and then he flapped the bear around on Sunday. It was a really, really impressive performance across the board for a team that, was struggling across the board. And now I think we talk about teams peaking at the right time, and that's what I see in Green Bay. And, I think it's all the better that they're going to have to play a Lions team that's kind of in the same boat. Albeit that big stumble in Week 16, which now looms pretty huge for them.
Speaking of the Lions, as people were talking about Jared Goff being a placeholder, is he now solidifying himself as their quarterback of the future?
I think that if you're the Lions, you look at the way your team is built right now, and if you were to go into this offseason and focus on getting better defensively, certainly, and filling in on the margins on offense, that you feel you can win with Jared Goff, and I think you have every reason to believe that. You're not going to be picking high enough with your pick, obviously, to get a quarterback. The Rams pick makes it more interesting, but I don't know why you'd sell out to go that route when you watch guys like Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones fail to live up to expectations.
Give me your read on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because if I'm looking at them and I go, look, I kind of get it. If you're Tom Brady, it's the playoffs. Just get me to the playoffs. But how do you take the temperature of this team that has not been impressive this season, but yet still has a guy that knows how to get through a postseason?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think they've put all their eggs in the basket of, We know how to do just enough to get there, and then when the time is right, we know how to get the job done there. They're going to be playing at home. They're going to probably be playing a Cowboys team that Tom Brady has never lost to. To go on the road from there, if they had to go play the 49ers on the road or the Eagles on the road, it's tougher. but it doesn't feel impossible because it's Tom Brady. And I think that, you know, you saw yesterday, if he and Mike Evans can get dialed in like that, if the defense can come up and make a few plays each game that give them time, I think that it's an absolute formula that can work. It's very similar to the Green Bay one. I don't want to play Tom Brady in January. I don't want to play Tom Brady in February. And he's there, and I like his chances, you know, to stay there a lot more than I would a lot of other quarterbacks with a similar, you know, resume going into the playoffs.
The Steelers win last night. They need a win, but they also need some help to make the postseason. But if they do, if they win, and even if they don't get in to the postseason, what does it say about Tomlin, the organization, and Kenny Pickett?
Well, I think the thing you have to love about Kenny Pickett is how he plays his best in the biggest spots of the game. Now, you'd like a more dynamic offense and one that doesn't leave you constantly trying to win games in the final minutes. But if you've got to do it, you know, you'd like to see it go through this crucible as a rookie and understand what you have in on hand. And look, Mike Tomlin gets a lot of criticism, and I think some of it's right. This team keeps starting 2-6, 2-5, whatever it is, and having to make up for lost ground at the end of the year. Clearly they have to do something to get to be better earlier in the season and be better earlier in games. But I don't know of a coach who has more buy-in from his players, who has more obvious support for what he's doing from his players than Tomlin. And to finish out this year with a winning record, yeah, playoffs are not. It's one of the better coaching jobs you'll see around the league this season. There's been a lot of really good ones, but it is a test. It is not hard to, excuse me, it is very hard to win consistently in the NFL and to consistently post winning records. And it's not something that should be ignored if the Steelers do wind up falling short because they, you know, they dug themselves too deep a hole early on.
Whether they make the playoffs or not, Jacksonville, the Trevor Lawrence play over the last 7 weeks, what are we starting to see from him that we thought we were going to see when he entered the league?
Yeah, I think that's it. You're seeing a quarterback who has every bit of the skill set that you're looking for a, you know, a Pro Bowl, All-Pro quarterback who can consistently take his team to the playoffs. I think that normally you would say even win or lose, it would be similar to the Steelers situation. This feels different. This Titans team is dead in the water, and to lose this game next week at home would be a real tough pill to swallow for the Jaguars, yeah. And whatever the brightness of the future. But I think, you know, I think you see in this Peterson Lawrence tandem what you expected to see from Lawrence as a rookie. The Urban Meyer thing threw everything off a year, but yet you have to feel great about where things are headed in Jacksonville. And I, you know, if they don't pull this off, I would be surprised next week.
The Dolphins are really, really injury hamstrung right now, and especially a quarterback. But there's a larger conversation at play about Tua Tagovailoa. How do you read that and where that story is about the concussions that he's had this year, possibly getting a fourth one if he were to return?
Yeah, I think this is the only other player I can think of in this situation was Jabba Best from the Lions years ago, who just kept getting concussions, and it became clear that for whatever reason he couldn't play in the NFL. He couldn't sustain that kind of pounding. I don't know that Tua is there yet, but I would feel very trepidatious about letting him anywhere near a football field before the start of next season and before there's a really deep dive into his medical makeup and what damage has been done and where he is. I realize the Dolphins are in dire straits and desperate measures, especially after Bridgewater got hurt yesterday, but it just feels like something that has to be an enhanced protocol. You can't have every single hit that a quarterback takes become a referendum on whether the concussion protocol is being handled properly. And with a guy who, you know, you can't expect him to self-report the symptoms either. So there has to be extra scrutiny done to make sure that you're not putting him at risk simply by putting him on the football field.
Josh, great stuff as always. I really appreciate it. Happy New Year to you, and thanks for coming on as always.
Happy New Year to you guys as well.
You got it. Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm with him on that. Eventually, this is what happens, right? We all know concussions occur. We know that a concussion can occur to anyone.
But then there is a level, like you cross this sort of line as a player where that is what people were watching for all the time. And I think Tua has crossed that line where now when he plays, you watch him differently on every hit, like he just said, than any other player, right? Like Tom Brady's been in the league forever, but if he gets hit in the head, you're like, yeah, Tua. But Tua, you just kind of watch him now, and no matter what he does, no matter how what a great throw he made to Waddle or Tyreek Hill or whoever, they're still always going to be watching out for the hit that takes him out of the game, right? That's where he's crossed over now, and I think that's right. I don't know what that means. I don't want to make a statement on a guy's career, but I absolutely understand that now he's at that point where everyone's going to watch every single hit a defensive player makes on him from now on. Even in the next season, he could be known as the concussion quarterback. And that's too bad because there was a period of time where the Dolphins, you could make the case where, if not the best, one of the top three teams in the NFL playing on this this great level. And now they've lost five in a row. Their injuries all over the place. The quarterback position is down to Skylar Thompson because Teddy Bridgewater got hurt yesterday too. So their chances, you know, it's kind of, they got to beat the Jets. They got to play the Jets this weekend, and Jets have nothing to play for now. But they still are hanging on at 8-8. And when you would have locked them in, you would have locked them in not that long ago. All right, again on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We continue. It's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks to Josh Alper joining us for Pro Football Talk. We got 18 coming up in the NFL. Good one tonight, though. Buffalo taking on Cincinnati. The Bills at 12-3. They need a win to keep up with Kansas City for the top spot in the AFC. The Bengals at 11-4. Now a two-game, well, could have a two-game lead over Baltimore and locking that one up and winning that division. They've already won that division, but again, the two teams in the AFC that are just outstanding. That's your Monday Night Football game for tonight. Let me ask this question in all honesty, and I agree with Josh on this, but I also think that sometimes you have to take these in pictures. Like, you have to sort of take a snapshot and sort of evaluate them every single year. And that is this. We can look at Aaron Rodgers at 8-8. And we can say, look, they've won four in a row. They found rhythm. They've got Christian Watson now. And then, like he said, the special team scored, defense scored. That both of those touchdowns yesterday against Minnesota came in the first quarter. So there's a way that they're playing. They shut down Justin Jefferson. They intercepted Kirk Cousins three times. There's a belief that if the Packers get into the playoffs, watch out, be careful. Are we really believing that about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady?
Only the first game.
Right? Like, I would agree. At home? Right.
At home against the Cowboys. Because it's the perfect storm for the Cowboys.
It's not a lazy thing. I don't think it's a lazy thing to say, like, oh, you know, Tom Brady, nobody knows how to do it in the playoffs. I don't think it's a lazy thing. A lot of people just use it sort of as a cliche, right?
Right.
Like, I wouldn't want to play that guy in the playoffs. But it's not that guy. It's a team. And the team could be terrible on defense. And the offensive line could be awful.
Which
and receivers could be injured. There's been a whole array of problems that Tampa Bay has had where one guy as good as a guy can play isn't going to bring you a 13-4 record at the end of the season with all of those malaise, right?
But honestly, I could see the Buccaneers being 8-9. Hosting
the
playoff game.
I can see they've already got they've got the division wrapped up, and they don't need to win at all.
Yeah, and I can see them losing to the Falcons.
Sure. They can be like, whatever. But the reality of it is this, and I don't mean to simplify this, because I know the regular season is important, and you've got to get to the playoffs first before you think about the playoffs. But if you want to know why Tom Brady unretired, it's because what's going to happen in 2 weeks, right? It's not 18 weeks of the NFL regular season and his enjoyment of that is why he unretired. He unretired because he was like, the last thing I just tasted was playoff football, which is what I love. I love this sport at that level. And I want to do that again. And in order to do that again, yeah, you know what? I got to go through training camp. And if I have to leave training camp for a personal reason, no one's going to scream and holler. and I'll go through the games, and I got to put up with an offensive line that has injuries and retirements and good players not playing. And then I've got to deal with a defense that at times does this and a running game that doesn't do this and all the things that are a problem, including a new coach, all of those elements. But if I can get this team into the playoffs, it's the reason I came back in the first place. And I think that's for Tom Brady. That's why, you know, that's exactly, doesn't matter if they're 8-9. It doesn't matter if they're 9-8. All that matters is get me to January and let me get a shot, a one game shot at advancing. And Aaron Rodgers is somewhat the same way, although Rodgers has had sort of less success in the postseason. But some people have pointed out, and correctly, that some of those losses that the Packers have had, some of them have not been because of the bad play of Aaron Rodgers. There's been other circumstances within the game. But again, it goes back to the question, right? How do you trust some of these teams, right? I mean, look, if the Dolphins get in, if they squeak in, I don't trust them right now with all their injuries and especially at the quarterback spot. I don't trust the Patriots. But I don't know if I'd want to face the Chargers with Justin Herbert right now. But Brady and Rodgers, guys that have been doing this for a long time, yeah, it's okay to say I believe in them.